Joshua, I'm kind of stressed out about today's topic, all right?
Okay.
It's about stress, okay. Unfortunately. And so the topic is navigating stress through our faith. So we all deal with stress, obviously. And so here's a pain point for you. Zap. Life gets busy and stressful, and we feel the weight on our shoulders. And so today we're going to look into some scriptures around that, but the pain point is we all feel this weight, this heaviness. Some people call it Mondays. Some people call it tax season, health, whatever it is. And so we're going to be touching on a few of those this week or in this podcast. And so before I want you to get your input, I wanted to give you a did you know? Okay. According to the American Institute for Stress. Now, right there, there's a whole institute related to stress.
That's concerning.
That tells you everything you need to know. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine working at that place?
Sounds stressful.
Sounds stressful, exactly. All right, so 77% of people regularly experience physical symptoms caused by stress. Wow. So when I stand up and I make noises like a haunted house... like, kind of thing. That's probably a little bit of stress. A little old age, but also stress. Mm-hmm. So we're going to give you a little bit of stats like that. So 77% of people regularly experience a physical symptoms associated to stress.
Yeah, that's just crazy to me. A physical response, and not even just like a mental exhaustion, a physical response, whether that's headaches, body aches, just lethargy. Like my wife suffers a lot through that kind of stuff, especially when her health was the worst. I mean, just migraines every day. It was just from the stress of health concerns, money concerns, everything like that.
And yeah,
the mind plays such powerful tricks on you. It's crazy.
So you've heard of getting butterflies in your stomach. Mm-hmm. That's stress.
Yeah,
you're getting nervous about a situation and you start feeling like fluttery in your stomach. Mm-hmm. Or when I get like really nervous about something, I'll have this idle, pointless cough. Hmm. You know, like I've noticed that, and it's just a random thing. But when I cough, my brain says, "We didn't need to cough. Why did you cough?" So I have a list here. You can kind of go through a little bit of them. Of why do we feel stressed?
Yeah. So we have a list of just some generic kind of topics we touched on briefly here. It's like outside threats, change, pressures from the outside, uncertainty or the unknown. Just did a podcast about unknown futures.
Right.
Loss, whether that's, you know, physical, financial, family wise, conflict, health, we talked about that, and then even money. And money's probably a big touch point for a lot of people.
Oh, sure, sure.
So each of those brings its own challenge when it comes to stress, because in that list of things, there's no if you experience those. We all experience those.
That's your shopping list, right there.
Say, that is almost your day-to-day to-do list of, all right, wake up, oh, look, stress about money. Oh, right. Look, stress about my health, that kind of thing. So it's not a question of if you experience. It's more about when.
Yeah, I think that on that list, because we have some immediate family dealing with health, someone in our family is dealing with some cancer right now. And so that type of stuff immediately starts to stress people out.
Yeah.
The person, those around that person. If you've ever gone through something like that or going through it, you know exactly what that is.
Yeah.
And so health is one. And then Dana would probably say change. She hates change. Mm. She likes, you know, I kind of like change in the sense of learning something new, doing something new, you know, variety kind of thing. So change isn't a huge thing, but I think the kind of change there, they talk about it, are big life changes.
Oh, yeah.
Even good ones, like getting married.
Having a
child, starting a new job. I mean, that can cause stress. Mm-hmm. Not that it's a bad situation, it's just... it's stressful.
Yeah.
You go to a new job, a new situation. You have a child. You're like, oh my goodness, am I going to be the right kind of dad for this child? So there's things on this list that not necessarily a bad thing, but it still causes stress. What sticks out to you on that?
Definitely money. And that Heather, my wife, has always been quick to point out that I focus a lot on the monetary.
Sure.
I try to be a good steward about it, but I definitely feel like sometimes I've let that encroach in areas where I'm like, I really should not stress it out so much, because, I mean, there's only so much I can do about that kind of thing, you know. Right. Health bills show up, unexpected things with, you know, car, house, whatever.
Sure.
But it's a dangerous slope, because that's how easily it can turn into an idol, right? Mm-hmm. Like, focus on, well, I need to get more money.
Sure.
Right? And it's plenty of guys I know that that's like almost their entire goal, personality. I need more money. And you try to ask them why, they're like, well, I just need more money. And it's like, that can't be your goal. That can't be the reason that you need to do it, right? And, you know, for many people, that's wanting to provide for your family and loved ones and that kind of stuff. And that's definitely a noble goal. But
sure.
When it becomes, I always need more, that's a dangerous area to be. But for me, money has always been a very big stressor, especially a couple years back when my wife was going through her health crisis and she was out of a job for about a year. Mm-hmm. And, you know, things were tight. And I started growing some white hairs in the beard and the hair. And everyone started making Steve Martin jokes at me. And right. But I've tried to let go and let God in that area, just because I knew it was unhealthy for me. I started having physical reactions. I started having rashes show up on my hand.
Hives, yeah.
And I was just like, this is not a healthy place for me to be, to living and dying off after every paycheck. Mm-hmm. And so I had to very quickly learn, because that was not a long-term viable solution for myself.
Sure. I know several millionaires. And I know some who make hundreds of thousands of year. Some of the most nervous, scared of the future individuals I know. Mm-hmm. You would think because they make a ton of money, they would be content with everything. You know what they're scared of? Losing it.
Yeah.
Not having it 2 years from now.
Mm-hmm.
On and on. That list of threats, right? When our body thinks there's danger, it releases stress hormones, and this can form a real danger just, you know, kind of thinking about it. There's a series that you and I love called The IT Crowd.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy has a some kind of like device that measures people's stress level.
Mm-hmm.
And he hooks it up and he says, I'm going to ask you a very personal question. And the meter just like pegs, and she's like really worried, what are you going to ask me? Mm-hmm. And he's like, okay, I'm not really going to ask you that. Now, that scene goes on to be extremely funny later on, but you can see that just that one little simple thing,
mm-hmm.
that perception is reality when it comes to stress. You know, you think that is a stressful situation, you're going to act like it is. And so this list, obviously not exhaustive,
right.
But one that probably hits everybody. If you're not on this list, you are deceiving yourself. And we only say that because we want you to approach your stress,
mm-hmm.
in the right way. And so,
right, because sweeping it under the rug is
right.
not okay to do. That just makes it way worse. I mean, as guys, and you, I know it's about myself especially, I like to bottle down those stressors.
Mm.
And so it's just like a little tiny bottle with a hair trigger away from exploding. And that's just not healthy either. So,
right.
you know, ignoring it, some people feel like, oh, if I just ignore it, it'll go away. This is not how stress works.
And that opens up a door of coping mechanisms.
Mm.
Oh, my goodness. Sometimes there's not enough chocolate in people's world to wolf down to offset the stress. Mm. They can't buy enough things. They can't just make enough money or watch enough TV or drink enough or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Your coping mechanism really can get out of hand.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought it was fun. And these just like popped in my mind of when you think of these Bible characters from a stress standpoint, don't think of their faith in God, how heroic or how big of a character. Think of the stress when I say the person's name. Jonah.
Oh, goodness.
And his 3-day cruise. Moses, Job, Joseph, David, Paul, Noah, Lot, and old Daniel. This is just some of the characters that had to have experienced stress. Mm-hmm. Now think of those people, how they dealt with some of that stress. We don't get a sense that Daniel was stressed out in that lion's den. David didn't seem to be too worried about most of the wars he had to go off to. I don't recall reading about Joseph freaking out about being sold into slavery. Moses, at least in that movie, he looked like he was, you know, pretty at ease about those Ten Commandments and all those plagues.
I mean, I remember mostly in the beginning when he just kept trying to like push it off, like, oh God, I'm not worthy, I can't speak, and that kind of thing, but never like, he never had moments where he was like, I'm just stressed out, man, I gotta go talk to my brother and all this kind of stuff.
Now, obviously, the Bible doesn't give us every minute of someone's life, but again, the Bible is written for us, not about us, and so we can look at some of the inspired Word of God and glean that person's in that situation. What are they doing to help them get through that? Right. And that brings us to our verse.
Yeah, so we were kind of like brainstorming different verses to kind of meditate on. And so before we kind of move on to our next stat, which is sobering in itself, we figured we'd choose a verse this week to kind of meditate on and try to like just find solace in. So it's in it's in Psalms 46, verse 1. It is short, sweet, to the point. You can write this on a little sticky note, stick it on your mirror when you're in the morning. It says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And if that doesn't give you hope, I mean, it gave hope to me when I was reading it earlier.
Sure. And what I like about that verse is that it doesn't say ever-present help in a so-so day or melancholy. He says trouble, because there's going to be trouble.
Yeah.
There's going to be things that check all those boxes that we read earlier. One may stand out to you more than the others. You may read that list and say, I have every single one of them. How in the world do I deal with that? So as we continue to talk about this in our next segment, we'll talk about another Did You Know? Uncommon would like to thank today's sponsor, Wilson Technology Group. At Wilson Technology Group, we're not just an IT vendor. We're your trusted business partner delivering exceptional support, innovative solutions, and peace of mind. One call, one team, all your tech issues resolved. Uncommon would like to thank today's sponsor, Viking Mergers. Sell your business? Viking Mergers and Acquisitions can help. With 25 plus years of experience and 800 successful sales, we're experts in securing maximum value. Get your free business valuation now at vikingmergers.com or call 866-592-9467.
All right, so as we move on to our next segment, we talked a lot about what can cause stress, what it can do to us, and all that kind of stuff in the first segment. So now we're going to move more into maybe some solutions, some practical applications near the end. That way, we're not just talking about it, reminiscing that we all have it, but you can walk away with something and be like, put into practice this week or this weekend.
Yep.
And so we're going to start off by talking about another study, about a Harvard study that was done, found that a relaxing practice like prayer reduces the need for healthcare services by 43%.
Wow.
And that's a pretty big number. That's not just like a 5%, but 43%. And so it's interesting to see how much, you know, and those people that we talked about, like Moses, Jonah, all those people prayed in those moments of need.
Sure, yeah.
Right? And how much just talking to the Lord about your stresses and giving them over to Him, how much impact that can have on mental and physical states around your life in different areas.
Sure. Anytime you can see, you know, Jesus in a situation that was somewhat stressful, He would get alone with the Father.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I heard that study, I'm like, well, you got people who exercise to relieve stress, people who read a book, they have sex, they eat something, they get over a walk, whatever the activity is, and but it's interesting to see that it's 43%. I mean, think of anything that we do in life that has that kind of change, 43%. That's pretty high to do something that could impact a situation by 43%. Now, obviously, you know, we have examples of those Bible characters that it's not like a genie lamp where I say a prayer and poof, there it goes. It's all the stress just melting away. So keep that in mind, that it's sometimes going to take some time. But you can see just there are things we could do. And so it says, how can we change our view of stress? This is probably one of the things we can do. So instead of seeing stress as an enemy, look at it as a signal. It tells us to slow down, adjust, and lean on God. So you've heard people say, a pastor just recently was talking about anxiety and joy right now in our church, and he's like, I'm going through a situation. I try to say, what is God trying to show me, or what can I learn from the situation? And that's sometimes hard to do.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's a situation that seems to be kind of silly or out of your control, like you didn't start this. It's like, what in the world am I going to learn out of this thing?
Right.
Maybe at the end of the day, it's patience. We learn from stress. It's not about avoiding it, but handling it with grace.
Right.
You know, they say death and taxes, you know, you can have that. I think if you're going to add a third one there, it's going to be stress, anxiety, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about this in one of our previous podcasts about patience, right? Well, it's like, you know, well, God, I want patience, and I want it right now,
right now.
Yeah. And when we pray for those kind of things, God tends to put us in situations that we can flex that muscle.
Right.
It's almost like, you know,
don't
be careful what you
patience.
Wish for.
Right, yeah.
So, you know, we talked about the pastor talking about what is God trying to show me, and sometimes, you know, we are very stubborn people. I mean, look at the Israelites.
Sure.
I mean, they were following pillars of fire and smoke of God, and they still kept goofing up, like constantly. And so we were just stubborn. Humans are stubborn. That is a blatant fact.
We say we want a sign. We get a sign. We want another sign.
Exactly. And so sometimes, you know, it takes these like rock bottom moments. Mm-hmm. If I had not experienced some level of financial need in this time frame,
sure,
that could have ballooned into a huge problem of greed and focusing on money only, and you know, all the tidbits with that. And I look at it now through that perspective of like, okay, maybe God was, you know, putting me in that place so I can understand that while money has its purpose, it is not a be-all, end-all.
Right.
But in the moment, I was like, Lord, why am I suffering like this?
Sure.
I go to church. I read my Bible. All right, genie lamp, let's do this thing. Come on. I rub the lamp, and you make me millionaire, and I go buy a house in the Bahamas, and let's move on. And so sometimes, you know, it's easy to look back on that, but definitely that self-awareness is required to have those moments in the thick of that storm of like, okay, Lord, I understand. I've been through this a bunch of times with you. What are you trying to teach me this time? And it's something to work on. You're definitely not going to get the first try. I mean, it's just that muscle you got to keep working at, because ain't no one walking into a problem area in their life going, oh, all right, Lord, I'm loving this. Let's round two. Let's do it again.
I'm learning. So I have one that is going to, you know, drive home this point. So hopefully no one listening to this podcast has to go through something like this. Usually those that list may be lower to mid range stuff, but sometimes we get big stuff. So our family and I were Hurricane Katrina evacuees, born and raised in New Orleans, you know, 40 plus years. Katrina comes along, literally blows us out of town. We spent about 18 months in Arizona. You know, we had a home back in New Orleans. It was still there. We needed to try to sell, but we go from that to in a totally different state. Didn't have a job. We pulled into town. Didn't have a place to live. Stayed with some friends for a couple of months. That transition was about 2 years in the making before we moved again from Arizona and landed in Charlotte. We wanted to go home, but I was just done with hurricane season. But I knew I was learning something going through it. I couldn't have fully appreciated it till after 2 years. That's what kind of it was by the time we settled. Katrina hit about September 29th, 2005. We moved to Charlotte June 20th, 2007. So, like, just under 2 years. Mm-hmm. Those lessons, sometimes you don't know. You don't fully learn until later on.
Yeah.
Joseph had no idea he was going to be second in command in Egypt when he was sold into slavery by his brothers. Moses didn't know what was ahead of him. Sometimes we don't know what's going to happen down the line. We just know we're going through it, like Job. And so our coping mechanisms, we grew closer to God during that time, closer to each other, that kind of thing. I've seen people shop out of depression. They can't, you know, buy enough to offset that, or if they eat, overeat, or something, they overspend, or whatever the thing is. So everybody's going to go through something. Hopefully it's not a big thing like a hurricane displacing your whole family to a different state or two. But whether it's small, medium, or large, I would hope that our coping mechanism would start with God and be as healthy as they can be.
Yeah.
There's going to be times when, I just want some ice cream.
Yeah.
It's going to make that better. You just don't want to eat, you know, a gallon a night to offset that.
Yeah, I know one thing that really helped me through the process was just talking about it in different ways, though.
Sure.
I know in the beginning I was not I did not like talking about it. I liked putting up the facade of, I got it all together. I got this thing. So, like, talking to God in prayer, talking to my wife, talking to you guys and friends and family, you know, that was really important to get it off my chest, so I knew I wasn't the only one, like, manning the fort, you know.
Sure.
Like, sometimes it feels like you're that guy holding that door against that wave, you know, if you're the only guy in your life that, you know, you don't have anyone to talk to or whatever. But one of the things that really helped me through that process was just, like, writing things down of, like, what I can and can't control, or what are, like, actual stressors, because I'm a worrier by nature. And so, like, most of the times, these stresses that I come up with in my head, I'm like, okay, yeah, it could happen, I guess, but of the percentage of this list, how much am I actually in control of, and what is outside of my control?
Mm.
And then I just start marking out things I can't control.
Sure.
And then I can focus on things I can control, and I leave the rest to God.
That is easier said than done. We tend to take things to the cross, lay them down, pray about them, and then we pick them right back up as we leave.
Yeah.
Let's hit with that next verse, verse 2, Matthew 11, 28 through 30.
Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest in your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
Hmm. Such a good verse. So our final segment here is, how can trust in God ease our stress? We talked about some coping mechanisms, trying to focus on God. Remembering God is in control of even that situation that is causing you stress. You know, like you said, don't pay or pray for patience, because God's going to put you in a situation for you to exercise that muscle. You know, let God... Let's see, remembering God is in control helps us let go of worries. And we tend to think that, well, what do I need to do to fix this situation?
Right.
And not realizing that we control is an illusion, even on the best of times.
Oh, yeah.
And so remembering that, and then filling our minds with scripture brings peace and kind of pushes out stress. I mean, it's hard to focus on more than one thing sometimes. And so if you are stressing out, start reading scripture. Want to start someplace? Start Matthew 1. I guarantee you, by the time you finish that first chapter, if you continue to focus on the word, it will push out that stress. And I'm not saying that when you stop reading, it won't come back in your thoughts. But you can see the power of spending time in God's Word, that it's going to let you know that there's other people who have been in stressful situations,
right,
and they've overcome them by focusing on Christ. Building a strong faith community helps with friends to lean on,
yes,
and times get hard. That's huge. And if you are a lone wolf, that is a dangerous place to be,
mm-hmm,
because you tend to feel very isolated, and that breeds dangerous thoughts.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you might think of suicide, dealing with stress. You might think of drugs or alcohol or whatever. Mm. We need accountability. We need friends to lean on, and we see that in our small group with our friend, part of my family, going through some cancer. Our small group have been rock stars with that.
Yeah.
Not even like asking them to do things. They were just like almost showed up overnight, like, what do you need? And if you don't tell me, I'm going to bring something anyway, or offer this, or pick you up, or whatever. Yeah. And so it's important to have some processes in place,
yeah,
that are focused on God's Word and your walk with Christ to ease that stress.
Yeah, I think I do want to mention this, because this is something I struggle with, especially during my wife's health decline. I felt like I was burdening those around me with that knowledge of, like, almost like, oh, woe is me. And so I didn't bring it to people's attention a lot of the time.
Oh.
And so I want to impress upon the fact that we're all going through something. Sure. And even when I was sitting there listening to other prayer requests in my small group, that was never the thought that I had of, like, oh, well, that sucks for you. Too bad. I was always more empathetic towards that.
Sure.
And so we often tend to be our own harshest critics when it comes to that stuff. So, you know, those people in your life group or in your life and your family, they want to help you.
Yeah.
And, you know, giving them that chance to do that, I think, is very, very important. Because when we did come forward with our life group telling about the health problems, and they were very similar boat, they were rock stars. They were showing up to the house with meals and, you know, financial help and just support in general. And
sure,
that was very helpful during that very dark time in our lives. So, yeah, you know, if you don't have a support group in some capacity, whether it's friends, family, or church, please do so, because, you know, if you don't have that accountability and help, you will turn usually to dark places.
Yeah, yeah. We can see that, you know, in our culture, that is, and TikTok is not going to solve those problems for you. There's going to be things on TikTok that may help, like Uncommon and other Christian influencers. But none of that is inspired by the Word of God. You need to spend time in God's Word first and foremost.
Yeah, there's no substitute for quiet time.
Nope, there's no substitute for the Word of God. So our last verse is Philippians 4, 6 through 7.
Would you look at that? I got that right here.
Oh, what are the chances of that?
So 4, 6 through 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.
Mm. Surpasses all understanding. Right on. So we're going to end with a challenge. We're big into encouraging, and we're big into challenging.
Yes.
It's not just us doing this to you. We do this for ourselves all the time when we do these things. So our challenge we're going to end on is, pick one stressful thing this week, and instead of worrying about it, take it to God in prayer. Then share your peace-filled moment on social media, on our platforms, whether it be Facebook or Instagram or TikTok, even on our YouTube channel there as well. The hashtag #StressFreeWithFaith. And let us know how that went for you. It's great that we do these things for our audience, but we want you to engage. We want you to comment on this, because that tells us this is resonating with you. It's great that we've made the drive time go by and you're at work now or you're at home, but we want you to engage with this. It helps us develop new content, and also we start a conversation. So be sure to leave a comment below, and Don't stress out.
No. Don't worry. Be happy.
Don't worry. Be happy. Now, go have an uncommon day.